Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Typical mid-September weather. Tropics are quiet, so we'll take it. Highs in the upper 80s and maybe a chance for an afternoon shower here or there. Lower humidity by the weekend. Joe Geruso joins us now, New Orleans City Council member. Talk about what happened yesterday in the City Council chambers. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm okay. How's everything at the Geruso household after Francine?
Oh, everybody's fine. The only problem we have is teenagers have to go back to school, so they're not happy with that.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier. You know, when you're a kid, nothing against your children, but sometimes, you know, as a kid, I can remember always wanting the hurricane to come here secretly, not realizing what that meant because, you know, you got out of school and everything was great. But then after Katrina, that kind of all changed. Let's talk about what you determined from at the city council hearing yesterday. And I guess if you want to take us through it with Entergy and Surge and Water Board, et cetera, and what you can so as of now determine the response was from each.
Sure. Well, I maybe start also with NOSEP, which is the emergency response. Mm-hmm. And the main issue I think so many council members wanted to talk about was communication. Obviously, with Surge and Water Board, a little bit different because of the substation when it will come online. But communication was really the big thing. For NOSEP, what we were told is there's a joint command center. And essentially, the way that they, NOSEP, gets information to the public is if their partner agency is provided to them. Well, the partner agency isn't providing the information, then NOLA Ready, which pushes out all those text alerts that you get, isn't able to give it to the public. So there definitely has to be a strengthening of communication. And I guess in government world, the term used is cadence between whoever the partner is and the communications arm. So that way residents are routinely notified. So that was NOSEP. With Entergy, I think the council members generally felt like the restoration efforts themselves from start to finish went off very quickly, but there was a lot of discussion about communication with residents. And one of the biggest things, Tommy, was there's a viewer outage map that you can access, and even Entergy acknowledged during the meeting yesterday that your street may look green, but that it isn't actually illuminated. And I think that the two points we tried to make yesterday were communication is key for residents to make their plans about staying here or not. Do you have to take grandma to Biloxi or Birmingham for a couple of days because you're going to lose power? And then also, we also impressed upon the criticality of returning power to schools and senior centers as quickly as possible. Senior centers, self-evident and explanatory, but schools are also equally important too, because particularly for people who get paid by the hour, if you have to stay home with your kid on Friday instead of school because school isn't open or power hasn't been restored to where you are, that's a problem. And the idea of just making sure, particularly on timeline basis, Entergy is able to notify people as best as possible. And again, is that by a phone call? Is it by text? Is it by email? Let customers opt into one or more of those systems so they can get the information. And then with Surge and Water Board, I think the two issues were both the communication before the storm. Surge and Water Board said they had 70 megawatts of power. which they did on paper, but the system is antiquated, as you and I have talked about so many times. And so really needing to communicate to the public that it's a yes, but we have 70 megawatts, but it's built on a 109-year-old turbine on electromotor diesel engines that have to run and are tricky pieces of machinery, that you actually have 10 different power systems operating at any one time. There is some frustration, too, about the pumps losing power and how that need to be communicated. And then the last piece that Councilmember Morrell brought up in detail that we have been in discussions about, and I know he issued a two-week deadline to all of us, so thank you, JP, for putting a deadline on all of us, is to find the money that's needed to get the substation all the way to the finish line. And Tommy, what I mean by that is the substation itself will be online in June of 2025. The piece that's missing, though, is full automation. And that's why all of us have considered this to be so important, because we want to make sure there's as little human manual touching of electronic things as possible. We want buttons to be pushed and power to go out. And while we have to deal with pumping capacity and retaining water and all the other things attendant to these larger storms, we just don't want to have to worry about, is the power going to function correctly?
Let me take a break. We're going to pick it up here. We come back. What grade, Joe, would you give Entergy on a response? Well, I'll tell you what. Let me take a break. When we come back, I'll ask you to give NOSEP a grade, give Entergy New Orleans a grade, and also Surge and Water a grade on their storm handling and response, et cetera. And I'll let the audience do the same thing at 504-260-1870. Talking to Councilmember Joe Geruso about the Francine response from the providers, NOSEP, Entergy, and Surge and Water Board. We'll pick it up here. We come back, 821 traffic now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. Joe, were you at the meeting at the airport with the mayor and the governor?
I was not there. I had another previously scheduled meeting, but I did check in with friends and colleagues who were there.
And there was a dust-up with the governor about paying for this power plant, and you said J.P. Morrell put a deadline on it. And I'm just wondering, when it comes to what happened during Francine, and if that power plant had been up and running and in existence, what would the difference have been?
The difference would have been you wouldn't have lost power to pump stations 1, 2, and 6. And therefore, the flooding that occurred would have been reduced. I think, Tommy, maybe even more importantly, the psychological factor of saying our pumps and our power did not fail, and the pumps did everything they could. And I said this to you when we talked last week. Remember, President Lee Sheng got on radio and TV and said, look, our system got overwhelmed. There's nothing we could do about it. And the people in Jefferson Parish accept that because they know that, by and large, that's exactly what happened. We don't have the ability to say that because the power is held together by bubblegum, spit, and duct tape, and they are doing an extraordinary job with an antiquated system. But A, we need to tell everybody we're on that antiquated system for the next less than a year. And then B, when the new power comes on, that we are relying on that power to make sure everything's running the way that it should.
But when it comes to, and I saw Ghassan Khorbanov, a little bit of what he had to say yesterday, when it comes to power or not, when it comes to lift stations, because of the leaky pipes and what happens with the sewage system being inundated with floodwaters, it's still going to be, even with this new power plant, it's still going to be an antiquated system, is it not, Joe?
It's still going to be an antiquated system, and I don't want to sit here and suggest it is the panacea, because it's not. But the lift stations lost power, too, mm-hmm. which is also part of the problem. So, look, as you and I have talked so many times, short-term, mid-term, long-term plan.
Right.
Short-term is getting this stood up, switching the pumps over to 60 hertz power, so we're not on the ancient 25 hertz power, working on sewer, working on the water treatment, all things that are happening in parallel with each other.
So when it comes to grade for Entergy and, getting people in place before the storm and then fixing it after, what grade would you give them?
Yeah, I'm going to go Montessori style here. So in terms of restoration and getting people, they get high marks. I think they get good marks for that. Communication, lower marks. And here's why I give them the lower to mid-level marks. We went through all of this with Ida, and our technical advisors put together a report of all the things that need to be better on the communications end, and those issues recurred this time. And I'm always in it. If you don't know, that's one thing, but once you do know, you got to really bear down and try and fix it.
When it comes to the communication, I saw Colin Arnold, I think it was, talking about communication from the Sewage and Water Board to the people about, can too much information hurt? I don't understand that part.
I push back on him. I think the public is far savvier than people give them credit for, and let people make their own decisions. I think that's really important. And look, credit to the media too. A lot of times things have to be repeated and repeated and repeated, so the point sinks into the public as well.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, Joe. We'll talk to you again soon. When we come back, we'll talk to Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, review the Saints Cowboys game and look ahead to the Eagles game after last night's loss by the Eagles to the Falcons. Right now, time for WWL First News. 8:46, 14 till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Jeff, fantastic job on Sunday. I listened to you and Deuce and Mike Haas with the call of the game, and I'll tell the audience, you really are missing a lot if you don't turn down the TV and turn up our team, because they're great. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to, last Tuesday I made the executive decision to go around and painstakingly document every set of power rankings that all these, coverage outlets put out, mm-hmm. just for the, so that today when I had a feeling the Saints were going to play really well in Dallas, I can dunk on every single one, because I think they were at like 23, 24, 25. Mm-hmm. The first one I looked at this morning had them at number 6. So it's going to be a good day. I'm looking forward to it. It's been a lot of fun.
But you know what? I like that. I still like, let's keep Dennis Allen. I don't mean this against DA at all. I'm just saying the flying under the radar part of it. Yeah, let's keep him up there as the first coach to be fired. Let's fly under the radar. I love being that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that is that I kind of said that before the season. I'm sure, the coaches don't really mind when no one's giving their team any credit, because, I don't think there's any easier pregame speeches than when you're in that situation. Now they're going to have to kind of dig deep for some of that motivation. But I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue. I think when, you're not, when you're a team that feels like, hey, everyone's been looking down on us all offseason, that doesn't go away just because you're playing well. It just continues to be like, oh, well, now you're going to see just how wrong you are. So we'll see. I think these guys are motivated. They're not going to start reading their own press clippings, but it does become more difficult. It's mm-hmm. a lot easier to be motivated when everyone's telling you how bad you are.
Let me tell you something. If y'all don't follow Jeff Nowak on Twitter, you're missing a good follow, because it's very informational. It's at JEFFNOWAK. It's that simple, isn't it?
It is.
Well, yeah. Underscore. You got an underscore in the middle of that? JEFF underscore Nowak, NOWAK.
They'll find me.
Yeah, you'll find him. Man, Alvin Kamara is just playing like a man on fire. He is just, I don't know. I was just making up stuff in my head where, he's playing as though there was some kind of deal where, you know, you're going to get paid. Don't worry about it. We got to do some cap stuff here, but you just keep playing. We'll pay you. He is playing like he deserves Christian McCaffrey money, would you think?
Well, here's the thing. When you don't have that contract extension, every contract is, hey, you go out there and play, we'll pay mm-hmm. you. Or someone will pay you. That's just how it works, you know. And the Saints are in the luxury of getting, you know, one of the issues of trying to get guys to play on those kind of deals is you don't know what's going to happen, right? You don't know if a guy's going to hold out. You don't know if it's going to get awkward. The Saints have kind of the luxury of having that situation with several players, and those guys are still going out there and playing extremely hard. Alvin's one of those guys. Chase Young is one of those guys who, obviously, they signed him on a one-year deal, so it's a little different, but he's still in a contract year. Right. And then you got Paulson Adebo on the defensive side as well, who's in a contract year. So, like, when, you know, there's a reason those guys tend to have their best seasons because they have that extra motivation. They're going out there. For Alvin, I think it's a lot more about, you know, I went into this season with the question, OK, I watch Alvin in practice in training camp. I don't see a guy that I feel like has lost a step. Like, I remember we saw Devontae Freeman come into town, the guy who started with the Falcons, and you watch him play and you're like, that's not the Devontae Freeman I remember. We saw David Johnson come in a couple of years ago, and it's like, man, I'm excited about the name David Johnson, but then I watch the player, and I'm like, that's David Johnson in name only from what I remember back with, you know, what was it, the Cardinals, when he had that crazy season. Yeah. Whereas Alvin, I feel like you kind of see the same guy, and so the question is, okay, is it that dreaded kind of cliff for a running back, 28, 29 years old, or has he just been let down by an offensive scheme that was in dire need of an update, an upgrade?
I would go
and
B.
Through 2 weeks.
I would say number B on that one.
Yeah, through 2 weeks, I think the answer is pretty definitive. You don't want to make any decisions of like, oh, I definitely know everything I need to know after 2 weeks. But I don't think anyone watches Alvin play and kind of feels like, I don't remember this guy. This isn't the player I remember. He just looks a lot more like we saw in 2020 and in 2019.
But, you know, if you look at
that game last week,
if you look at the training regimen, Jeff, I don't know why that would be a surprise, right?
Oh, no, right. He puts the work in. I do think that, you know, he doesn't make a big deal out of it the way that some players might. Same thing with Marshawn Lattimore. Like, these guys do the work. They just don't constantly ask for the praise for doing the work. But, yeah, I mean, we've seen these crazy workouts that Alvin puts himself through and, you know, the balance routines. And that's always been the thing with Alvin. There's some guys who are super elite at speed, super elite strength-wise. Alvin's superhuman ability is balance and contact balance. And you just see guys bouncing off of him in ways that's not normal. You know, he'll run for 57 yards, and he doesn't even look like, you know, I'm pretty sure he never went faster than Cesar Ruiz did next to him running down the field on that screen for 57 yards. So he's just a remarkable player. And I feel like we should all feel fortunate that we get to watch him.
And I'm looking at a repost of yours right now where he's neutralizing Micah Parsons, and a lot of that doesn't get noticed.
Yeah, he's a good blocker, you know, and that's what allows you to keep him on the field, you know, for three downs. Because that's, when you look around the NFL, one of the reasons you don't have a ton of three down backs, you know, along with kind of the difficulty of keeping a guy healthy, is he's a liability in pass protection, or he can't catch the ball. Whereas Alvin could do all of those things, so, you know, with him, you don't have to take him off the field. It's just a question of when you want to take him off the field to give him rest. But, yeah, he blocks well. He catches well. He's a lot faster than people give him credit for. And he's a complete running back. And I just think, you know, when you look up and down this roster, everything makes sense. The entire roster makes sense from, okay, can you do this? Yes. Can you do this? Yes. Can you do this? Yes. Can you take advantage of
8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Jeff, fantastic job on Sunday. I listened to you and Deuce and Mike Haas with the call of the game, and I'll tell the audience, you really are missing a lot if you don't turn down the TV and turn up our team, because they're great. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to, you know, last Tuesday I made the executive decision to go around and painstakingly document every set of power rankings that all these, you know, coverage outlets put out, just for the, so that today when I had a feeling the Saints were going to play really well in Dallas, I can dunk on every single one, because I think they were at like 23, 24, 25. Mm-hmm. The first one I looked at this morning had them at number 6. So it's going to be a good day. I'm looking forward to it. It's been a lot of fun.
But you know what? I like that. You know, I still like let's keep Dennis Allen. I don't mean this against DA at all. I'm just saying the flying under the radar part of it. Yeah, let's keep him up there as the first coach to be fired. Let's fly under the radar. I love being that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that is I kind of said that before the season. I'm sure, you know, the coaches don't really mind when no one's giving their team any credit because, you know, I don't think there's any easier pregame speeches than when you're in that situation. Now they're going to have to kind of dig deep for some of that motivation. But I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue. I think when, you know, when you're a team that feels like, hey, everyone's been looking down on us all offseason, that doesn't go away just because you're playing well. It just continues to be like, oh, well, now you're going to see just how wrong you are. So we'll see. I think these guys are motivated. They're not going to start reading their own press clippings. But it does become more difficult. It's a lot easier to be motivated when everyone's telling you how bad you are.
Let me tell you something. If y'all don't follow Jeff Nowak on Twitter, you're missing a good follow because it's very informational. It's at JeffNowak. It's that simple, isn't it?
It is.
Well, yeah. Underscore. You got an underscore in the middle of that? JEFF underscore Nowak, NOWAK.
He'll find me.
Yeah, you'll find him. Man, Alvin Kamara is just playing like a man on fire. He is just, I don't know. You know, I was just making up stuff in my head where, you know, he's playing as though there was some kind of deal where, you know, you're going to get paid. Don't worry about it. We got to do some cap stuff here, but you just keep playing. We'll pay you. He is playing like he deserves Christian McCaffrey money, would you think?
Well, here's the thing. When you don't have that contract extension, every contract is, hey, you go out there and play, we'll pay you. Or someone will pay you. That's just how it works, you know? And the Saints are in the luxury of getting, you know, one of the issues of trying to get guys to play on those kind of deals is you don't know what's going to happen, right? You don't know if a guy's going to hold out. You don't know if it's going to get awkward. The Saints have kind of the luxury of having that situation with several players, and those guys are still going out there and playing extremely hard. Alvin's one of those guys. Chase Young is one of those guys who obviously they signed him on a one-year deal, so it's a little different, but he's still in a contract year, right? And then you got Paulson Adebo on the defensive side as well, who's in a contract year. So, like, when, you know, there's a reason those guys tend to have their best seasons because they have that extra motivation. They're going out there. For Alvin, I think it's a lot more about, you know, I went into this season with the question, okay, I watch Alvin in practice in training camp. I don't see a guy that I feel like has lost a step. Like, I remember we saw Devontae Freeman come into town, the guy who started with the Falcons, and you watch him play, and you're like, that's not the Devontae Freeman I remember. We saw David Johnson come in a couple years ago, and it's like, man, I'm excited about the name David Johnson, but then I watch the player, and I'm like, that's David Johnson in name only from what I remember back with, you know, what was it, the Cardinals, when he had that crazy season. Yeah. Whereas Alvin, I feel like you kind of see the same guy. And so the question is, okay, is it that dreaded kind of cliff for a running back, 28, 29 years old? Or has he just been let down by an offensive scheme that was in dire need of an update and an upgrade?
I would go
and
B.
Through 2 weeks.
I would say number B, yeah, on that two, one.
Yeah, through 2 weeks, I think the answer is pretty definitive. You don't want to make any decisions of like, oh, I definitely know everything I need to know after 2 weeks, but I don't think anyone watches Alvin play and kind of feels like, I don't remember this guy. This isn't the player I remember. He just looks a lot more like we saw in 2020 and in 2019.
But, you know, if you look at
that game last week.
If you look at the training regimen, Jeff, I don't know why that would be a surprise, right?
Oh, no, right. He puts the work in. I do think that, you know, he doesn't make a big deal out of it the way that some players might. Same thing with Marshawn Lattimore. Like, these guys do the work. They just don't constantly ask for the praise for doing the work. But, yeah, I mean, we've seen these crazy workouts that Alvin puts himself through and, you know, the balance routines. And that's always been the thing with Alvin. There's some guys who are super elite at speed, super elite strength-wise. Alvin's superhuman ability is balance and contact balance. And you just see guys bouncing off of him in ways that's not normal. You know, he'll run for 57 yards and he doesn't even look like, you know, I'm pretty sure he never went faster than Cesar Ruiz did next to him running down the field on that screen for 57 yards. So he's just a remarkable player. And I feel like we should all feel fortunate that we would get to watch him.
And I'm looking at a repost of yours right now where he's neutralizing Micah Parsons. And a lot of that doesn't get noticed.
Yeah, he's a good blocker, you know, and that's what allows you to keep him on the field, you know, for three downs. Because that's, when you look around the NFL, one of the reasons you don't have a ton of three down backs, you know, along with kind of the difficulty of keeping a guy healthy is he's a liability in pass protection, or he can't catch the ball. Whereas Alvin could do all of those things. So, you know, with him, you don't have to take him off the field. It's just a question of when you want to take him off the field to give him rest. But yeah, he blocks well, he catches well. He's a lot faster than people give him credit for. Yeah, he's a complete running back. And I just think, you know, when you look up and down this roster, everything makes sense. The entire roster makes sense from, okay, can you do this? Yes. Can you do this? Yes. Can you do this? Yes. Can you take advantage of situations in ways we need you to? And I think that's what's played out through 2 weeks.
It seems like that's AK's team. It seems like he's the leader on that team. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I want to talk about what you saw from the Eagles last night, looking ahead. And also, Saints are 2-0 this year. They were 2-0 last year, but there's a big difference. We'll talk about that as well with Jeff Nowak. Quickly to traffic, WWL. 8:57, 3 till 9, Tommy Tucker. Quickly back to Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Jeff, you know, you watched a game last night, Philadelphia, Atlanta, next two Saints opponents. Thoughts on the Saints being 2-0 as they were last year, the differences, and looking ahead to Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's convenient when the two teams you're going to play over the next 2 weeks happen to play each other on mm-hmm. a night you can just sit there and watch the game. You know, I thought both those teams looked very beatable.
Yep.
And now with what we know about the Saints team, I feel like you should go into both those matchups feeling like, hey, why not 4-0, right? But no, I mean, it is funny because, you know, I talked to Brian Brzee coming off the field, and it was like, I wanted to ask him, hey, well, how does it feel to be 2-0? And then I remembered, oh, wait, all he knows is 2-0. Mm-hmm. They were 2-0 last year. But, man, I don't know if it could feel any different than it does. You know, last year you did beat the Titans, you beat the Panthers. Both of those games, every step felt like you had, you know, weights on. It felt like a slog. You know, they were trying to figure things out. I think Derek was trying to settle in, and he did that, you know, to a point, and then he got hurt. It does feel a lot different, mainly because of the offense. You know, I think the defense has been very consistent in what you can expect out of them. But, you know, what was holding the Saints back the last 2 years was a scheme that just felt outdated. It felt antiquated. And now we're seeing a modern scheme. We're seeing a much simpler, you know, concept for the quarterback who can execute it without as much stress, and he can focus on just playing the game. You know, you're seeing an offensive line with strategies, you know, where you're not just asking guys to drop back pass. I mean, Derek only threw the ball 16 times in that game. Half of it was play action, right? You know, and there was a lot of success. So, no, I think, you know, these are some of the most fun seasons you'll have in the NFL, where you have no expectations and the team shows up and is just stunning. If this happened in 2019, we would all be like, all right, whatever, let's see what happens in the playoffs. Now it's every step of the way should be a good time. So I'm looking forward to it.
It flies by. You got Philadelphia coming up, then Atlanta, then a Monday nighter against Kansas City, another division game against Tampa Bay. Then guess what? Thursday night, October 17th, Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. 8:57, 3 till 9, Tommy Tucker. Quickly back to Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Jeff, you know, you watched a game last night, Philadelphia, Atlanta, next two Saints opponents. Thoughts on the Saints being 2-0 as they were last year, the differences, and looking ahead to Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's convenient when the two teams you're going to play over the next 2 weeks happen to play each other on mm-hmm. a night you can just sit there and watch the game. You know, I thought both those teams looked very beatable.
Yep.
And now with what we know about the Saints team, I feel like you should go into both those matchups feeling like, hey, why not 4-0, right? But no, I mean, it is funny because, you know, I talked to Brian Brzee coming off the field, and it was like, I wanted to ask him, hey, well, how does it feel to be 2-0? And then I remembered, oh, wait, all he knows is 2-0. Mm-hmm. They were 2-0 last year. But, man, I don't know if it could feel any different than it does. You know, last year you did beat the Titans, you beat the Panthers. Both of those games, every step felt like you had, you know, weights on. It felt like a slog. You know, they were trying to figure things out. I think Derek was trying to settle in, and he did that, you know, to a point, and then he got hurt. It does feel a lot different, mainly because of the offense. You know, I think the defense has been very consistent in what you can expect out of them. But, you know, what was holding the Saints back the last 2 years was a scheme that just felt outdated. It felt antiquated. And now we're seeing a modern scheme. We're seeing a much simpler, you know, concept for the quarterback who can execute it without as much stress, and he can focus on just playing the game. You know, you're seeing an offensive line with strategies, you know, where you're not just asking guys to drop back pass. I mean, Derek only threw the ball 16 times in that game. Half of it was play action, right? You know, and there was a lot of success. So, no, I think, you know, these are some of the most fun seasons you'll have in the NFL, where you have no expectations and the team shows up and is just stunning. If this happened in 2019, we would all be like, all right, whatever, let's see what happens in the playoffs. Now it's every step of the way should be a good time. So I'm looking forward to it.
It flies by. You got Philadelphia coming up, then Atlanta, then a Monday nighter against Kansas City, another division game against Tampa Bay. Then guess what? Thursday night, October 17th, Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.